You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto, and I am glad you're joining us this Thursday evening. Art, I'm all out of sorts.
My
circadian rhythms are messed up.
I was just about to jump in my car and leave, and then I forgot you were sitting there.
Got a show to do.
We're just
sitting here, just kind of staring into space. I'm sure it's going to be fine. The Food and Wine guys are awesome. That show's awesome.
Hey, it's what we do. We drink. We eat.
Yeah, that's really what life is all about. Yeah, and the pray. Do you guys pray a bit too?
Then it's a Julie Roberts movie.
See, you need a third thing for all. You know, that's the magic, the rule of threes, right? Food, drink, and
gambling.
I was going to go some other direction with that.
Okay.
Tech.
Okay. Oh, hey, there you go. Techs.
I am so glad, but I'm glad we're here. This is our new home, and we're just settling in. I am, of course, Steve Dotto. Art Factora is my erstwhile cohort here. Cohort? Is that you? Yeah, you're my cohort. We've got a great show lineup today. We're going to be talking with Mike Vardy. He's going to come on. We're going to talk productivity. We haven't talked productivity with Mike Vardy in a little while, so we got to catch up with Mike's doing. And I am on a mission. Have you been reading the news stories about the catastrophic nature of our work environment, that sitting on our rumps day after day is so bad for our health? So you're excellent because you sit there and you stand at your desk
at your
place almost most of the day while you're at the board there.
There's a lot of standing involved.
There's a lot of standing, and that's good.
So
all the rage is the sit-stand desks, is the ability to be able to sit for a period of time and then stand for a period of time and be able to change your position, which really helps you. Health-wise.
It hasn't helped me very
much. You don't know that because you don't know how bad a shape you would be in if you didn't.
Oh.
See, you're in pathetic shape now.
Yeah.
You might be in mega pathetic shape were you to be spending more time.
Like Jabba the Hutt type shape.
Could be. Huh. I could see. Yeah, you could be Factor of the Hutt.
I would love his kind of power over people.
Maybe not the
body type.
You just want the girl in chains with the cinnamon buns on her head.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? It makes me look at cinnamon buns in a totally different ever since. At any rate, Michael Craigs is going to also be joining us. He has the company Ergo Canada. We're going to be talking about options for retrofitting your office or things that you can do to take advantage of all this research around positions. Regarding to work positions,
like the hierarchy of an
employer? Just things you can do. I got to ask. That's why we're doing the interview. I don't know the answers. I am asking because I want to retrofit my office to make it more ergonomically friendly for me. I'm starting to feel the impact of my years and my time spent at a computer, frankly. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be a great show. I think we're gonna rock here in the 7 o'clock Thursday.
Kind of blow them away. Well, we'll have to make sure because sometimes I think the listeners drink wine along with the wine show while they're listening.
Oh, good.
So you have to be that much more engaging with them.
Well, what we'll do is we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the dulcet tones of Mike Vardy joining us. How about that?
I love it.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better.
Do you have
Except
a comment
or a question
you.
For Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from Victoria is my productivity sage. My leader in the wilderness of unproductivityness. Mike Vardy, how you doing, Mike?
Doing great, Steve. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been pretty busy. You're one of our first guests as we move from Wednesday to Thursday nights. How does it feel?
Feels later.
Yeah, it is later. it's close to my nap time. So what have you been up to, Mike?
I have been busy working on building, my next book proposal. I've got a course I'm doing for Creative Live that I'm working on. I'm working on another ebook. I've just and you know, like taking care of kids. I've been cooking a lot more lately too, and testing out apps. So I've been
now.
I've been,
we are friends on Facebook. Tell me about this archery thing.
So I've been a bit of a comic book nerd for a long time, and Green Arrow is one of those shows that I've been watching. Arrow on and I guess that's filmed in Vancouver. So, my daughter and I they have a family like an father daughter archery class or family archery class. So my daughter and I have been doing it, and we just finished our third week. And it's awesome because one of the things I like about it is that it's all like as a productivity guy, the focus element, like routine technique, like making sure that
breathing,
all that stuff. It's so critical because the only thing that can get in the way of you, you know, hitting the target is you. Right. Mm. So it's kind of that it transcends a bit. And of course, when I wrote The Front Nine, which had the golf elements in it, I'm not a golfer. But now since I've read like Stephen Pressfield's new book, The Authentic Swing, and I've been doing this archery stuff, I'm like, you know, maybe I should take up golf because, again, the only thing that can kind of get in your way with golf is
don't be silly.
You.
Golf is a – golf, well, I'm going to alienate a lot of our listeners, but golf, what a colossal – take up fishing, Mike. Take up fishing.
I think they're both kind of can fall into the – it depends on how you want to spend your time. But, yeah, the archery thing's been awesome. My daughter's loving it.
And you learn the importance very quickly, I'm sure, of that armband. To protect your forearm.
Yeah, because you've done it before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the armband is – I haven't done any kind of like grazing yet, but my daughter actually put hers on the wrong arm, and I'm like looking at her, I'm like, no, put it – you got to move.
Because the burn you get from that rope as it comes through is pretty severe. It can really hurt.
Touch wood, that hasn't happened to me yet, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
And then you're starting to learn that, you know, as the guys, as you get into it, those compound bows and the cost of some of them. Oh, my goodness.
The people that are teaching us are the people from the Victorian Bowman's Club. And one of the guys that was there had like this crazy compound bow. And then his just Olympic style bow had like five different implements on it. I'm like, it doesn't even look like a bow anymore. It looks like some kind of tripod.
But they are things of beauty, are they not?
Oh, they are. They're beautiful.
And the balance, the way that they balance. And then just as a technologist, you know, you look at all of this subtle little things. It's just, it is, I can see how it can engage you. And I can see why you're enjoying it.
It's a lot of fun, and I will.
As a parent thing, doing it with your daughter, that's awesome.
Yeah, and her and I are both like, should we join the club after? And she's like, yeah, I'd like to. And I'm like, okay, great. So we may actually end up becoming members of the Bowman Club after this. So we'll see. We're halfway there, and actually, it's kind of great that it's happening this month because this month has been like it's crazy busy. So it's kind of my like getaway time.
And it is a great skill. For the coming zombie apocalypse.
It totally is.
It's one of the ones that you want good archers around you.
Exactly, because we all know that guns won't work anymore. So.
Well, the guns work, but there's a limited supply of ammunition.
This is true.
As the apocalypse progresses, there's an unlimited supply of arrows, and you can reuse them as long as you're okay with pulling them out of their gory zombie brains.
Yes, I'm sure I'll be able to do that with ease after at least three more lessons.
Do you notice something about Thursday nights with the show?
No.
Way off track.
Yeah.
Way off track. Let's let's talk some technology and let's talk. So what are you writing about in the productivity space?
Well, I'm doing a lot more app testing. Productivity is becoming more of a like my hub again where I'm doing a lot of that. And I'm checking out a lot of apps and a lot of devices. And lately, again, more review items come in. One of them that I got to test is made by the Neat Company. The Neat Desk was their you know flagship kind of desktop scanner. They've also got the Neat Receipts, but this new one is wireless and it connects to your wireless network. And it no longer just relies on, say, the Neat Cloud, which is Neat's proprietary cloud to store your stuff on. You can now send things to Evernote, to Dropbox, to Google Drive, to SkyDrive.
They're really opening things up because that was one of the things about that bothered me with the Neat product in the past. Was I had to work through the Neat Connect. Is that what their software is called? The
Neat Cloud.
Neat Cloud. And I found it awkward. And also, they wanted to charge me a subscription fee, didn't they?
There is a subscription fee to the Neat Cloud, but when you buy the Neat Connect, you get the first 3 months for free or something like that. The one thing about the Neat Cloud that does have the advantage over the others is the OCR, is the fact that it does do the scanning of the OCR and stuff.
If you can connect to Evernote.
well, if you can connect to Evernote and then bring it back in, like there's ways to do it without having, there's a less direct route. The other way, of course, is just to scan the Neat Connect stuff directly to your computer, like on a Dropbox, and then run it through, you know, the Neat software that comes with the Mac anyways. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do it as directly as possible, the Neat Cloud is one of the better ways to do it. And I still, the Neat Cloud has also seen major improvements, especially with the addition of the mobile app for the Mac or for the iOS. But this scanner, it looks great.
It's a very funky looking scanner.
It's got the touch screen on it, so you can, it walks you through every element of it.
An iPod embedded in the face of it.
Yeah, it's the closest thing you can have to like having an iPod that you just got, or an iPod Touch just slid into the front face. The touch screen can be a little bit wonky at first, but I'm sure that's just going to be that could be firmware stuff that they're going to improve over time. But the great thing about this is we have a shelf as we enter our house. So all I would do is it would be wirelessly connected. I would just scan my stuff through and boom, it would go to where I wanted it to go. And you can choose too. So if I wanted certain stuff to go to the Neat Cloud, say receipts and all that stuff, that would go there. Evernote, if I had a document that I wanted to have go to Evernote, I just flip the switch and boom, it goes to Evernote. You know?
So what you're saying is as you walk in the house, you could see a scenario where this scanner is sitting somewhere in your entranceway.
And
you just empty your pockets of all of your receipts, just like I do with my change to drop it into my little change tin.
Mm-hmm.
You take out your receipts, you use the touch screen to designate where the receipts are going, and you scan them in so you can scan them and forget them.
Yep. And that's what I've done. I mean, we've got a nice little shelf area, so it's not like you don't walk in and see it. It's right behind the door, but still, it's right there. It's the wireless stuff is so great. You don't need it to connect it directly to a computer anymore. You don't need to connect it to a computer at all.
How well does it handle the physical paper handling of the receipts? Because, you know, you got so many receipts that are folded up in your wallet and wrapped around your credit card and crinkled a bit. How does it handle that?
I've never had a problem with the Neat Desk or with this device. I mean, I've done a lot of traveling, so I'll gather like all my receipts and have them crumpled up in like a binder clip when I get home. So I basically throw them in my back. If I have a receipt in my back pocket, that would go in. I'd put like four or five in at once, whether they're slightly crinkled, some are straight, and it went through no problem. So now again, OCR sometimes has a problem with OCR, depending on how they're handled in terms of crinkling and stuff like that. But they scanned no problem. So the quality of the scans are really good as well. Neat's making some really good stuff. And this is the one product that, I mean, I know we've talked about the ScanSnap before, and they've got a new product out, of course, through the Evernote, with Evernote integration, further Evernote integration. I think Evernote's actually really heavily involved in it now. This one is the one that can, you know, in terms of making it the home scanner version, because no one wants to see a big Fujitsu scan snap in the middle of their front hallway.
Yeah, but this is a nice looking piece. But it doesn't come at an inexpensive price.
No, it's $500. So it's not cheap.
I'm thinking that's going to be a barrier for a lot of people.
But the scan snap is around, it's not too much
but the scan snap positions itself as a business tool.
Fair point.
This is positioning itself as a part of your entire home.
This thing for me is more like I'm a guy who works at home, so I want things to look as good as they work, and I want it to be able to kind of balance and dance on both sides of the equation. So this would be something that would work for somebody in my situation. It may not work for everybody, but I mean it works nonetheless. It works great.
And trying to set that $500 against their little portable scanner, which is what, $129 or $139 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money for a touch screen and for a little more comfortable feed mechanism.
It's a nice piece of machinery, and it's definitely worth the look.
If they send me one, I'm not going to say no. So what's next up? What apps are you looking at?
There's a few really good apps that there's always these productivity apps that are coming along that people are checking. One is called Begin.
Okay, before you do this, because you sometimes tell us about software that's only available to you because it's in beta. So the rule today is you have to tell us about stuff that's real.
This is real.
Okay.
This is out. It's called Begin. And it is it's for the iPhone. And it is one of those apps that was built by Applause is the name of the developer. And Ben Brooks, who's a prolific Apple blogger and actually technology blogger in general, he had a bit of a hand in helping consult with it. What it is they realize that there's people that only want to write down things that they have to do today and tomorrow. That's it. And This app does that very well. It allows you to kind of say, here's what I have to do today, and then whatever you don't do today, it moves to tomorrow. So it's a very simple to-do app. It looks great. It's very elegant, and it's not going to break your bank. I think the introductory price was 99 cents. I think it's going to go up to $1.99.
It's a very simple to-do list.
Yes, it's a very simple to-do list. But the nice thing about the big feature, which doesn't seem like it's a huge feature, but it is, because none of the apps out there really that I've seen do this, is whatever you don't do today, it says, oh, these weren't done today, they move them to tomorrow.
It nags you.
It does. It nags you, but it doesn't do it in a way that like Carrot does or any of these other ones where they say, hey, you didn't do this today. It just says, okay, well, you didn't do this today, we're going to move them to the next day. And just this is your gentle reminder. So it's like that. I guess the analogy they use is the administrative assistant who writes down on a piece of paper what they have to do today, and then they cross it off as they go. That's what this app does. And then whatever didn't get crossed off moves to the next day. It's pretty simple, and it's a great way to.
Does it,
I guess,
integrate with calendars or with any other tools?
Not yet, but I don't want to go into beta stuff, right? So
okay. Got it. Okay. Okay, so Begin, a simple to-do list manager.
Yep. Another one that's really, really cool and developed right in Vancouver, actually, is called Clever Routines. Now, we've seen a lot of these habit-building apps that are out there, right, like Lyft. It would be the best example. This one is really nice because it's got a clean and crisp user interface. I like the way it presents itself. It's one that there's scheduling that you can do. There's reminders. There's integration in terms of that. It looks great. And a lot of these habit tracking apps get so overwhelmed with the habits that you're trying to track. Whereas this one, it takes that and kind of wraps them in a really great packaging and a great user experience all in all. So it's a 99 cent app. It's called Clever Routines, developed in Vancouver.
And does it follow some of the philosophy of habit building?
It does. I mean, admittedly, it's not. These other ones, Lyft is an example where it's crowdsourced, so it's like you take the benefit of the crowd and try to rah-rah move you forward. Way of Life is another one that kind of just keeps it insular. But it definitely does like tell you how, you know, what days you've made it, what days you haven't, but it's not intrusive. So for me, these kind of apps I use for saying, for example, I play guitar, right? So, but I'm not very good at it. So I want to get better at it. So that's one habit I will track in here. Archery, there's a great example. You know, how many times did I go to the grounds to practice? That kind of stuff. So that's what I use these apps for more than anything else.
So it's tracking your self-commitments, the things that you're committing to yourself.
And absolutely.
Then giving some feedback. Because a lot of the different tools, like if you were using a, in guitar probably wouldn't be the best example, but probably the best example would be some physical training. If you're using like a Couch to 5K app,
right,
that's tracking. It's doing the same kind of thing, but it's doing it vertically in that app.
And right.
This is giving you that kind of feedback on a more ad hoc basis. Did I brush my teeth today?
Yeah. I mean, the thing I really like about it is just the fact that it allows you to really look at your habits in an environment that makes you want to look at them, where a lot of these habit tracking apps that I've tested, I mean, and I like Lyft. And I like Way of Life, but I don't like the way that they present the information in that it like kind of scares you off. This one, it's there's something about it that's very different, and the price point definitely isn't
99 cents. Well.
Yeah.
These guys are in Vancouver, right?
Yep.
I gotta talk to these guys. I gotta find out what the economic model is behind these things. Because at 99 cents, you have to sell an awful lot of them to make a living.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, and I mean, I've got a lot of developer friends when I've gone down to Macworld and stuff where we talk about like, you really need to be like in the top end of the app store, and you really need to like there. It's such a tough road to hoe. Like Contrast is the name of an app developer, and they've made like Launch Center Pro and App. They used to be called App Cubby, and they've got the new one called Perfect Weather. And it's they're like, you know, you always have to get that again for another that bullseye, you know, that one that that sticks on an app that seems to have done that on the Mac side of things. In fact, so much so that on the Mac App Store that it's now, as we record this, the number one app, period, even more so than Apple's own operating system, is 1Password 4.
And we'll make this the last one today. Tell me why 1Password 4 is doing so well, because it is expensive.
It is.
I'm sounding terrible today. I'm complaining about everything, the price of everything. It's too cheap. It's too expensive. That's my thing today. I'm not happy with any price.
The reason that 1Password is doing so well is because security is a huge, huge issue for a lot of people, especially when it comes to passwords. The nice thing about 1Password, and I know that we've talked about like LastPass and stuff before, is that 1Password allows you to have 1Password to get access to all your other passwords. And then what it does there is it allows you to automatically fill in your passwords when you go to a site, so you could store multiple. I've got like 8 Google passwords stored for just Google accounts.
Yeah.
I've got hundreds of passwords. But the thing that sets 1Password for apart is that from its predecessors is the ability to share that information with others if you want in a fairly encrypted format. So if you and I were going to work on a website together, we could have like a vault, they call it a vault, that we could share the sign-in and login information. And even further to that, like a credit card information that, say, it was a company credit card, we could share that without it being going through any other service, like, say, LastPass, which is a service. And 1Password's a native application, so you're not signing up for any sort of service. That, to me, creates that additional layer of security. And there's other things that you can keep in there. Like, you can keep your credit card information in here. You can keep your – one of the cool things about 1Password that I really like is if you buy a piece of software – and you drag the application icon into the 1Password window, it saves your serial number and all that stuff right in 1Password. So that when you're like, oh, I have to do an upgrade, and say sometimes when you do an upgrade, it breaks the serial number, or you do a new install on another Mac or something, you've got that there. And 1Password is also available for the PC, not 1Password 4 yet, but it is available for Windows as well. And of course, there's the iOS version of 1Password for both the iPad. And it's just, it's one of those ones where you can have one easily remembered password that can get you access to all of the other passwords that you have that maybe aren't so easy to guess, and nor should they be easy to guess.
And have they modified the pricing? Because when I looked at it before, I thought, I kind of figured out that to set up my notebook, my desktop, my iPad, and my iPhone was going to cost me the better part of $100.
With the iPhone, you're going to pay iOS pricing separate for that. But on the Mac, because the thing about when you buy it through the Mac App Store, right, is that if you've got a Mac app account, you can put it on whatever machines that App Store is attached to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with iOS, you're going to, just like OmniFocus, where OmniFocus, which is a task manager, you pay for OmniFocus for Mac, and then there's OmniFocus for iOS. The difference here is that for iPad, or for 1Password, is that the iOS version is the same. So it's not like you're paying for iPad and iPhone. It's all for iOS. So you're not getting double dinged on the different platforms there. But I mean, yeah, it's $40 for and that's the launch price right now.
And then $18 at the for the iOS version. Yeah. And that'll work on multiple devices or just per device?
Well, I mean, depending on where, basically it'll work on the devices that your Apple password is set up on. So your App Store password, if it's set up on your iPad and your iPhone, then great. It'll work on both. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So that, and so now you've done a blog post on that, which we'll reference, because I complain about the pricing, but I would rather have people use this, or, you know, in 1Password is the tool that I use, and it's a little more geeky. Mm-hmm. I will give you that. And it does probably 85%. The main thing it does is it creates very, very difficult to, very secure passwords. And it does have a single password, a single master password, which you make as difficult as possible to get into, that gains access. Now, just one technical question. One thing about 1Password or LastPass that I know, and I'm always concerned with, just you. Obviously, we have to be very concerned about how secure they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Now, what I know what LastPass does in order to enhance their security is they require two different authentications. They require both the online and your local computer to be in agreement, so that even if their servers were hacked at their end, they would only get part of your password combination. They wouldn't get your side of that combination. Does 1Password do the same kind of thing?
Well, 1Password, all your stuff is stored wherever you decide to store it. It's not stored through a service. So, for example, if you want to store your passwords through Dropbox, you can. It just depends on how secure you've got that, right? You know, so it's not the same kind of thing where it's...
Okay.
But they do have serious encryption on when you're sending stuff out. Again, that's all in the blog post. There's a few, there's so many different protocols that they talk about. And actually on the Agile website, they talk about several others that are there. But the great thing about it, again, is because you're not going through a third party service, it's basically whatever you decide to share you're going to share. And the nice thing about it is you can have a – there's also the web plugins and all that stuff, like the extensions and all that.
Yeah, which is so useful to have which it plugged into your browser. Yeah,
right. And then the other thing is they now have a menu bar item, so you can actually look without opening the app. And right now I clicked on it, and it gives me the ability to enter my master password. I enter it in, and I can see all of the different passwords I've got. So I can then open it without actually having to have Safari open or whatever web browser you're using. So it's a different animal in terms of how they handle it, but there is definitely some security stuff there that they've built in that keeps things safe so that you can protect yourself without even necessarily knowing that you're protecting yourself.
Mike, we'll have links to your blog posts which describe these wonderful products on our site and in our newsletter. Thanks so much for being one of our first guests on a Thursday night. You like Thursdays? Are you going to be back with us on a Thursday?
Thursdays are good. I like Thursdays. Thursdays are like one of my heavy lifting days. So, I kind of like it. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting over to Vancouver, before the show to go catch my first Canucks game ever.
Yes. Now we're pre-recording this talk, but tomorrow night is the big Canuck game against the New Jersey Devils. So either congratulations, you're a big New Jersey Devil fan. So
I am.
So either congratulations or depending on how it went.
Oh, well, we'll see how it goes, but I'm really excited to get over to, I like coming over to Vancouver. I don't do it often enough.
Good stuff. Mike Vardy, the Productivityist. Links will be on our site. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except
you have
maybe
a comment
or a question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from Saskatchewan. Are you in Saskatoon, Michael?
That's correct. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Well, we often have Julian Saunders on from London Drugs from Saskatoon, but Michael Craggs is the president of Ergo Canada, which is a website dedicated to ergonomic solutions, ergonomic products to help us work, I guess, safer and healthier. More healthy? Is that the best way to say it? Anyway, I found Michael because I'm researching sit-stand desks, and they have a whole assortment of them available on their website, and in a conversation with Michael, I know he's the man to talk about the benefits of this. And there's the concept of standing while you're working isn't new, but it's certainly in the news these days, Michael.
Yes, it's kind of interesting, the history on sit-stand solutions. They've been well accepted in Europe for a number of years as being patently obviously better. But, of course, in North America, we tend to be 20 to 30 years behind the times, as it were, and we have these affectations to solutions that are homegrown, so to speak. But it's certainly been established in Europe for some time. It's finally starting to get gain some traction here in North America.
And then in the headlines are screaming to the heavens. They're saying things like sitting down is killing us. It is shaving years off our life. It's, you know, by sitting and working, it's worse than eating a cheeseburger a day as far as our health. That sitting is actually it's devastating to our long-term health. Are you in that camp? Do you think it's really that bad?
Well, I think the jury's out as to the how bad it might be, but there is definite evidence that passive sitting for extended periods of time can cause all kinds of problems. I mean, that's been known for a long time. You look at long flights on airplanes and so forth, you can get the DVT and so forth, the blood flow issues and whatnot. And I guess the biggest thing about it is that it's a matter of how the person is working on their computer. If an individual is active, in other words, they're sitting, but they're up every 10 minutes to do a different task or whatnot, then they're not likely to be at as much risk. But increasingly, due to the power and the capabilities and the reach of our modern-day computers, we are able to do far more from our desk and from our computer than ever before, and there's no reason to get up and leave that desk and leave that monitor. So you may be sitting from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon without getting up once the entire time.
And especially
where the problem can occur.
Especially if you're hyper-focused on a task. I know that when I get into project mode and I'm working away, I will look up and it will be suddenly, feeling weak. That's causing me to notice that I haven't drank water in 3 or 4 hours. And then when I stand up, oh my gosh, my hips hurt, my lower back hurts, and I realize that I've really put my body through a lot by not doing anything.
Exactly. And so there's sort of a continuum, and that's what we talk about here at Ergo Canada. Is we talk about the continuum of types of solutions. So sort of the one extreme of the worst is essentially sitting in a passive seat, and that's because all the weight is on your posterior. You're effectively immobile. You've got a static posture, which you tend to slump over time. Your lower back isn't getting oxygenated. Your legs aren't getting oxygenated because you're not using the muscles for anything. You're not moving. That's your worst-case scenario. One step up from that would be an active sitting solution. An active sitting solution is one where the seat actually moves relative to the back. And that's an improvement over a regular passive seat, but it's one step up, but it's not a great solution. The next step up is a sit-stand solution. And I mean, a sit-stand solution allows you to basically move from a sitting posture to a standing posture as your workday progresses, according to your own needs and your own desires and so forth, which will allow you to then get that circulation. You know, you notice your back is starting to cramp or you're starting to experience some discomfort. You stand up for a while, and then when you start to fatigue in terms of your legs or your feet, you can sit back down again. And now, then the... Go ahead.
There is a lot of different work solutions, desk solutions, that will facilitate this now. They're these electric desks that raise and lower depending on what posture you want to be in.
Exactly. And I mean, I guess that's the other thing, is that until very recently, until the last year or two, electric desks have always been there. I mean, they've been around for years, and prior to the electric desks, there were hand crank desks and so forth, but they were always exceptionally pricey. I mean, in the neighborhood of anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000.
And that simply puts it
out of the price range of certainly a home user or a small business owner. Typically institutions were the only ones that could afford them. But what's happened is that there's been such an increase in popularity on these, it's the economies of scale, you're starting to see good quality solutions at very affordable prices, to the point now where an electric workstation, complete workstation with tabletop, can cost less than a regular desk that you might buy at a regular office furniture store.
Now, the one thing that I was kind of under the assumption that standing is healthier and better for us. Is that a fair concept?
I would say that it comes down to the task. I mean, depending on your task, standing can be better and healthier for you, but I would not say that standing throughout the entire day is necessarily better than sitting through the entire day. Mm-hmm. It does provide more capability for movement. You can shift and move around far better when you're standing than when you're sitting. But again, the key thing is moderation. The key thing is load balancing, and that's a core concept in ergonomics. You want to balance the load, balance the amount of work in a traditional physics sense that each muscle has to do. So if you stand all day, you're not load balancing effectively because, of course, you're going to fatigue your legs typically. If you sit all day, you're going to fatigue your lower back.
So That was kind of, my thought was, if sitting is killing us, I should stand all day. So that was where I kind of entered this conversation from, which is always, you know, as usual, I have it completely wrong out of the get-go. But so it's all about moderation. It's all about spending some time sitting, spending some time standing. And then in our pre-conversation, you were talking about how other types of chairs and how some chairs will allow you to kind of tripod and kind of be, you know, I guess 5 or 6/8 full standing where you're balancing yourself a little bit. And that gives us another option as well where we're not fully standing, but we're not sitting down.
That's correct. I mean, again, taking the cues from Europe, use Europe as our guinea pigs. They've been experimenting with ergonomic solutions or more ergonomic workstations for, you know, decades now. And what they've evolved towards is, to a large extent, using sort of saddle-like stools. They're called saddle stools, is the category. And what these saddle stools do is effectively allow you to change your seated posture. So whereas a regular chair, you're sitting parallel to the ground with your thighs, on a saddle stool, you're standing, your legs are perpendicular to the ground. With a saddle stool, your legs are at a 45-degree angle, that is the thigh portion of your legs, are at a 45-degree angle to the ground. So you're not sitting and you're not standing, you're kind of halfway between. What this does is, by sitting on a horse saddle type of chair, it's not a horse saddle, but it's similar in some aspects, the legs, as opposed to being your knees touching one another, are at a much wider splay. By splaying the legs wider, you're actually in a better posture with respect to your S-curve in your spine. So you're going to maintain that perfect S-curve posture on your spine, even if you've got bad habits. for example, myself, I tend to slouch. I tend to sort of crumple into a chair over time. But when I'm sitting on a saddle-style chair, because of the what it does to the sort of the bone structures in your lower back and in your hips and so forth, you will sit with perfect posture and you won't have this tendency to slump. In addition, because you're now working from a position of power in the sense that you're now a tripod, so you're much more stable than you are when you're all the weight is on one point, one pressure point on your body, you're able to reach far further. So you actually have a much larger what's called comfort zone, which is the area on your workstation you can reach without overextending or causing an awkward posture or movement or strain on the muscle, because of the fact you can lean forward and you can lean back and you can lean to each side without losing your balance, because now you've got 3 points on the ground as opposed to one.
Now, do you stay in that tripod posture for most of the day then, is when you're at your desk?
The idea behind that tripod posture is, yes, indeed, you can stay in that posture for an indefinite period of time because, again, taking on the concept of load balancing, a sit-stand solution means you sit down in a regular chair and then occasionally you shove the chair away, or not occasionally, but as needed, you push it away and you would stand up. With this other solution, you can effectively shift your weight more towards your feet or shift your weight more towards your body, towards your torso, as you want throughout the day. And, of course, you can adjust the height of the chair, making it a little lower when you want a bit less weight on the feet if your feet are bothering you, making it a bit higher if you want a bit more load onto your feet and a little bit less on your lower back. So you can adjust it through the day, but most people, when they make that adjustment, find they can shift their weight without changing the height of the seat, and it solves their issues. Now, the problem with these sit stands, with a chair like that, is it doesn't work on a regular desk. I mean, you're forced to change, if you think about it, the height of your thigh is going to be anywhere from 12 to 18 inches, depending on how tall you are. So your regular desks that are sitting at 26 to 29 inches need to go up by a foot to a foot and a half to accommodate this new posture. And that's not even standing, that's just this half-standing posture. And that's where the solutions for sit-stand come in terms of adjustable height workstations.
So not just putting milk crates underneath the legs of your desk.
And again, that's a great method. Well, I wouldn't recommend milk crates. There are some very innovative economical solutions that are on the internet that vary from cinder blocks to painted cinder blocks to plastic. I've never seen milk crates. That's a new one. I'll have to think about that. It's environmentally friendly. But no, there's a wide range of different solutions. And so there's a couple core things that you need to determine. If you're looking at this as an option, there's a couple key things you need to determine. One is, if you want to be able to sit and stand, you need to determine how much range of movement you need to accommodate that. And that's very easy to do. When you're sitting, you want to be working at your work surface so that it's about level with your elbow, or preferably about an inch lower than your elbow height when your arms are resting at your sides. You measure that height. Then when you stand, you want to do the exact same thing. Your arms are resting at your sides. You want to be about an inch approximately below whatever your elbow height is. And that height range is going to tell you how much range of height you need to have of adjustment for your sit-stand workstation to be functional for you, assuming you want to move between sit and stand. The second question is, what are you dealing with in terms of your office? If you have your grandfather's desk and he was a barrister in England and you love his desk and you never want it to change and so forth, you'll be disinclined to get a modern-looking desk with a new top. Mm-hmm. So you may want to find a solution that you can retrofit onto your existing desktop by simply placing a mechanism on top of the current desk to provide you with a range of movement for sit and stand. That's one option, where you basically retrofit an existing desk. Another option is to replace the desk altogether with a new desk, and then that's where the electric mechanisms typically work better. Although, we are finding, environmentally friendly-wise, one other way of dealing with this is, let's say the legs on Grandpa's old desk aren't in the best shape. You knock off the legs or the sides that are maybe showing wear and tear, you keep the beautiful polished top, you buy just an electric base, and you mount that lovely desk onto that electric base, and boom, you've got a new and old solution that can go sit and stand. Now your 100-year-old desk is able to be work in the modern workplace.
Michael, I got to take a quick break. Can you stick around so we can? I want to talk about some actual the actual product mix that people can look at. So can you just stick around for a few seconds?
I'd love to do so.
Good stuff. I'm talking to Michael Craggs. He is from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. He's with Ergo Canada. We're going to return with more of Dotto Tech in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better.
Do you have a comment
or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We are online talking ergonomic solutions, sit-stand desks. My guest is Michael Craggs from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. He's the president of Ergo Canada, which is a website that's dedicated to ergonomic solutions for the workplace. Now, we just kind of recapping, we're talking about these sit-stand desks. And really, the impetus for this conversation, Michael, came from my own personal desire to, I want to change my own office setup. So I'm probably right in the middle of the internal conversation that most of your customers go through, which is includes things like a little bit of confusion, a little bit of sticker shock, a little bit of, well, what's the cheapest way that I can go about and accomplish what I'm looking for versus what's the best long-term solution. And the options that people have to look at is setting up some sort of a fixed height that that's better than the sitting height that we're at right now, which would involve some sort of a kind of a three-quarter tripod level area, which would really, I guess the major investment there would be changing the desk height, but purchasing a new chair to support that new sitting position, which is quite unique, or looking at one of your fully movable solutions that allows us to go up and down. Am I correct?
That's correct. And of course, the fully movable solutions will also accommodate those chairs at that half height. So that would give you the versatility with a fully movable solution to go from sitting to half sitting, half standing to standing, and then find what works for you.
Now, a lot of people work on multiple computers where they've got a desktop computer, but they also have a notebook computer, or they have a notebook computer that can move to multiple locations. Is one good solution to look at some of the different cart solutions that you have on your site where you say, you know, when I'm sitting at my desk, I'll sit down at my computer, maybe with my monitor that's fixed there. But then to break things up, maybe I'll spend an hour a day or an hour and a half or 2 hours a day standing using one of the carts.
Well, the carts are really designed more for portability / transportability of a solution as opposed to height adjustment.
Okay.
Typically, they're used in a medical cart situation where you want to move it from point A to point B. They're not really designed from an ergonomics standpoint. And certainly, from an ergonomics standpoint, you would never, ever want to use a laptop for more than a very short period of time during a day, 30 minutes at the very most, preferably 15 minutes at a time. The reason being, of course, that this is well documented on the web, the viewing height for your monitor should be roughly so that the top of the viewable area should be level with your eyes, so that when you're looking down to the center of the monitor, you're looking down at a 10-15 degree angle. The optimal height for your input, your keyboard and your mouse, should be roughly an inch below your elbows. There is no laptop on the planet that allows you to separate the screen and create that kind of a disparity in height between the two, and a cart wouldn't allow you to do that without some disassembly and assembly each time.
Michael, you're killing my master plan.
I apologize. I know.
There goes my economic solution 101. Oh, well, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and spend a little more money, I guess. Okay, so that's good advice. So spending time on a notebook, looking down at a notebook, craning your neck down, that's really hard on us.
That's correct. I mean, that's been known in North America for a very long time, which is one of the reasons why the vast majority of people who have a laptop or a notebook and they bring it to work will simply plunk it onto a stack of phone books or a bunch of risers and have an external keyboard and mouse that they use at each one of their workstations, either at home or at work. So that they're able to use basically the laptop becomes a glorified monitor / portable hard drive.
Yes. Okay. So that makes really good sense. So, as people are going through the decision-making process, then you're kind of looking at your site. For the most part, there aren't just prepackaged solutions. They've kind of got to decide on the size of desk that they need. You choose a type of base and then work your way through and choose a top. And you're kind of assembling your own solution for the most part. Am I correct?
Well, there are some all-in-one solutions. It all comes down to kind of the options that we talked about before the break. If you're looking to retrofit, typically the retrofit solutions, they come in either all-in-one solutions or components. So, for example, if we can just start going through some of the options. Let's say you want to keep Grandpa. I talked about Grandpa's desk before. You want to keep Grandpa's desk. You don't want to modify it. You don't want to have to bolt anything to it or damage it because you want to hand this desk down to your to your son or your daughter or whatnot. So what you need is something that will allow you to have that adjustment range without actually damaging the desk. There are solutions out there, like, for example, Ergo Desktop has a line of products called Kangaroos, and what they are is basically a freestanding adjustable work surface that will move up and down on the desktop and give you that sit-stand range of height for both the monitor and the keyboard work surface without impacting the desktop at all. And that's literally freestanding with a sort of has a slide, Teflon underside, which allows you to move it around on your desktop without damaging the desktop. That would be one example. Another example would be products.
Sorry, what would the price range of Kangaroos be?
The Kangaroos, the big benefit of the Kangaroos is they give a nice big work surface, I should mention as well. Their work surfaces are typically 28 inches by 24 inches, so you actually have a sort of a reduced compact actual desktop that will move up and down. They range anywhere from about the $600 range up to about the $850 to $900 range, approximately. So the downside of the Kangaroos, because every product has a pro and a con, and this is what ergonomics is all about. Unfortunately, there isn't a perfect product. People often come to me saying, well, what's the best mouse to get? Well, there is no best mouse. There is no best keyboard. There is no best sit-stand solution. It's what is appropriate for you. That's what ergonomics is about. So the downside of the Kangaroos is that they will not adjust below the desktop. So let's say you're 5'6" and you're on a standard desk which is 29 inches high, that Kangaroo can't go below the top of that desk. So at 30 inches, let's say, that's going to be too high for you when you're sitting. So what will end up happening if you want to create a sit-stand workstation is you would probably need to hike your chair up and have your feet on a footrest if you use that solution. It doesn't prevent you from using it, but you need to be aware of the fact that if it's supposed to adjust to you and for some reason there's a limitation because you can't change the desk or whatnot, you need to adjust to it to keep in mind those guidelines I indicated where the hands are roughly an inch below the elbows when you're working.
Okay.
A second sort of option in terms of not damaging the desk, but providing the same kind of features, would be to clamp something to the front of the desk. And there's products, Ergotron has a few products under the name WorkFit, and then Health Postures has a product under the name TaskMate, which essentially clamp to the desk. And what they will do is the mechanism clamps, it doesn't damage, but then it will basically articulate the monitor again and the keyboard work surface up and down through a sit-stand range of movement. The advantage to these types of solutions is that they will actually articulate below the height of the desk because they can sort of cantilever out or hang down below the height of the desk. So that individual who's 5'6" wouldn't have the problem anymore of having to float and have a footrest and so forth just to get themselves high enough in their chair for when they're sitting. The downside of those types of solutions is that the work surface is typically smaller. Typically, you're dealing with a very small keyboard tray and mousing area as opposed to having a large work surface or a larger work surface that will permit you to have maybe a phone and, you know, a notepad and other office accoutrements.
Okay. So those are the retrofit solutions. What about the basic solutions themselves? What about if I was going to say, okay, I'm going to get rid of my desk, start fresh?
If you're going to start fresh, then what I would go with is, there used to be a lot of hand crank solutions for adjustable height desks, and honestly, there's no reason to get those anymore because they don't cost any less than the electric, and you want something that's going to move without you having to do a lot of effort. If you're trying to save your back and you develop a problem in your wrist due to the hand crank, you've robbed Peter to pay Paul. You haven't really achieved a positive improvement in your workstation. The electric workstations will allow you to essentially just press a button to get your height adjustment, which is effortless for anyone, and there'll be no disincentive once you've got this installed to take advantage of it through the workday whenever you feel the need to adjust it. Typically, the workstations come with a separate base and a separate top. And one of the things that we always encourage people to do is, again, being environmentally friendly, is we only push the bases. We say, well, you know, you need the base because you need the height adjustment. But if you've got any type of a desk or table or you find a local place that has a nice tabletop or you want to make your own custom-shaped wood or bamboo or metal or whatever you want for your desktop, you can put whatever you want and affix it to any base that we've got as long as it's within certain guidelines. And, of course, the bases come in single column for very small corner applications typically, two-leg for a standard table up to maybe 7 feet by 2.5 feet, and then three-leg if you want to create an L workstation.
And so you must love the people that have IKEA desks because the tops just pop right off and they probably fit right on all of your bases.
Exactly. In fact, the company that the company that we have been using primarily for our electric bases is actually based in Denmark, and the tabletops that they've got have a very IKEA-like look to them, for lack of a better way of putting it.
I've got one of those corner desks that is a half corner, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have to replace the whole thing, but I'm thinking I'll just keep my tabletop, and I just need a three-legged. Is it three-legged? I guess it's three-legged.
Three-legged base.
Yeah, a three-legged base that I can replace it with. So I might not have... Sorry?
No, I apologize. And here's the neat thing about that. Depending on your tabletop, if you have three parts of your tabletop, you can make any one part of that L desk height adjustable.
No, so for example, let's say if top.
Oh, then yeah, no, then you'd need a three-leg.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to save you some money again. You know,
I know. I'm trying to save me some money too. But so now, what is the price range of the bases?
Okay.
And then for what's the most economic solution for an electric sit stand? And then we know it can go up to as high as people want. But what's the base prices?
Right. So for a single column base, you're looking at under $400 for the base. And again, one other key thing, we talked about the range of height. These bases will give you a 20-inch range. So they will adjust from 26 inches off the ground to 46.5 inches off the ground. That's about a $380, $390 price point. Now to get to a larger, like a two-leg, which would be for a standard, you know, regular desk, rectangular desk, you'd be looking in the $500 to $600 price range. And those ones actually have a better range of adjustment. They will adjust from 21 inches off the ground to 47 inches off the ground. So they actually give a larger range of movement.
So that's so if you're very tall, you might require that, because I'm only 5'8", so I'm going to be fine with the 44-inch height or whatever that is, the maximum.
Correct.
But if I was 6'4", I might need to go for a two-legged solution.
Well, that's correct. And in fact, there's an extra tall version of that, because again, I indicated a sit stand is very popular in Scandinavia. So of course, there's a lot more demand for accommodating very tall individuals in Scandinavia. There's an extra tall model that goes all the way up to 51 inches off the ground. So that would be for people typically 6'2", 6'3", and higher, depending on their personal anthropometrics in terms of, you know, where their arms rest and how long their upper arms are and so forth.
Got it.
The top-of-the-line one that you're looking at, well, not top-of-the-line, but the three-leg version, you're looking at, for a three-leg solution, typically in the just under $1,000 would be your price point for the base.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these are available in a more robust version. So if you need an industrial one as opposed to one for an office, which is going to work in a warehouse setting or something like this, you just add a couple $100s and it'll have a lot more capability in terms of its lift capability, and it will be capable of withstanding impacts. In other words, maybe not a forklift running at full tilt, but certainly,
yeah.
You know, none of these are designed to take that. But, you know, in any event, so the top of the line, the most heavy-duty type solutions are maybe in the $1,300 to $1,400 range, but that's for a three-leg, you know, 8-foot by 8-foot L workstation, which you'd rarely need in almost any sort. The example for that would be a library, maybe a library where they're sorting books and like a circulation desk.
Yeah.
That would be an application where that might work.
Heavy use. You know, I think we better call it now. We've taken a lot of your time, Michael, and I do want to get you back on the show to talk chairs, because chairs become a whole other conversation, don't they?
They do indeed, and the chairs is a big factor, but I mean, all the parts of the workstation work in concert, and that's one of the challenges here at Ergo Canada, is that we can't just become experts in one thing, because every component of your workstation interacts with every other component, and so we have to know enough about all the products to be able to speak them, and that's what we try to be here as an informative source here in Canada that attempts to be neutral on all the various products that are out there.
Well, we will include links to your site, and I will certainly keep the listeners abreast of my own personal journey towards not sitting on my butt all day long, but standing occasionally. Michael Craggs is the president of Ergo Canada. I'm Steve Godwin. You're tuned in to DottoTech.
Art, other than our new time slot, did you notice one other change to the DottoTech website that our listeners might be interested in?
Do we have a minute for me to go check it out?
Nah, it's okay. You actually said you liked it on Facebook, so I thought you actually looked at it. I think you just like everything I say, by routine without even reading it.
Because I'm scared of you. You're my Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, geez. We've got this new little feature. It says Ask Steve a Question, and it's just a little sidebar that's sitting on the website. You click on it, and it allows you to record an audio question that we can use on the show. So if you want to be part of the show, you can ask me a question about anything. If you've got a cool product that you think I should be talking about, if you've got a cool website, if you want to talk smack with our app Thursday gang, you just click on the button and say Ask Steve a Question, and you record it, and we can use it on the show. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, speaking of, I downloaded the app, and perhaps maybe I'll use it for next week's App Wednesday. I think it's that cool.
I think we're going to call it App Thursday.
Well, App Wednesday.
I feel so
dirty,
unsatisfied. But that is it. That's it for our first Thursday night show. We're going to be back next week. Next week is App Thursday until further notice on a better name. I'm Steve Dotto on behalf of Artfactor, my guest today. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.